I desire your prayers this evening. I know the meeting has been long and everyone's tired, and I have no desire to be the one to put you to sleep here at the last of the meeting. But I have something I'd like to share with you tonight that I hope would be an encouragement to you, to me, as we go from this meeting. You remember, probably every one of us have seen it over the years. There's been a poster of a depiction of Uncle Sam with eyes that are piercing. I mean, you stand in front of that poster and he's looking through you and he's pointing straight at you. And what does he say? I want you. A call for you to join the military. I want to tell you tonight, if we could only see the poster of Christ doing the same thing individually, I want you. I want each one of you to join the army of the Lord. What I have tonight that I'd like to share with you, my desire to be a good soldier. I'd like for us to start in a verse, 2 Timothy 2, 2nd chapter in the 3rd verse. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This week, the Lord has been faithful to come to us and equip us with some tools to be able to endure hardness through this next year as a good soldier. Recently, we all know this, some of our own family, friends, made choices to join the military. There are some lessons that I would like to, some life lessons that I'd like to pick up from that. You know, maybe as a young person, I'm kind of rebellious. I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I'm tired of people giving me rules that I've got to do. So I make a choice. I'm going to make a decision on my own. I'm tired of people telling me what to do, so I'm going to join the military. So nobody will tell me what to do. And I tell you, that happened. Many of the families just got word. I just want to tell you, Mom, I just joined the military. I knew you was going to tell me not to do it, so I went ahead and did it first and then told you. Well, there was something that happened with that signature that probably none of them realize. You gave yourself up. In a country where I have so many rights, you can't cross me, I can sue you, and yet there's still a peace in this country to where you can lose all rights. And that's with you signing up for the military. They have a thing called boot camp that you go to after you have decided, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And they break that will. Now, I believe y'all have probably gotten prayer requests come in yourself from those boys saying, pray for me. I need some prayer. This is different than I ever thought it would be. Boot camp. Trying to teach the boys who's boss now. And it is so important that they break their will, because how would it be if you're out on the battlefield, you've got thousands of men, and each of them have a different opinion. I just received word that this is the move that we need to make, and I don't agree with it. My folks used to tell me what to do, and I didn't agree with it, and I told them. Now, in boot camp, this thing is being broken to where when I come out of this, I no longer have my own thoughts. I move at the bidding of someone else. Well, I'm not here to encourage that tonight, because I believe the Lord is telling us the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And the enemy that I'm facing tonight is not somebody overseas. It's not somebody here in the United States. The enemy that will try to cause me to miss heaven is self, myself. And it's going to be a war for me. So I've joined this battle. We have had in the past, you may remember in the 60s and early 70s, there were not enough people joining for the wars that were going on. So they said, I tell you what, we're going to have to start a draft. We're going to make you get into this army. And that didn't work very well because they spent a lot of their time chasing the draft dodgers, trying to get you back in service. So the Lord doesn't have a draft service. It's free will. There's a verse that I'd like for us to look at in Joshua in 24, where Joshua came to the people. And in the 14th verse, 24th chapter, it says, Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I've made my decision. My desire is to be a good soldier. That at the end of the race, that I would hear the words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In joining this, how would it be if each person says, This is how I want to do it. The Lord's army requires that I give up my will to him. Do you remember the verse in Isaiah 4 and 1? And I'd like to use this verse tonight. In that day, there'll be seven women that'll take hold of one man, saying, We're going to do it our way. We're going to eat our own bread. We're going to wear our own apparel. But we need your name to take away our reproach. What if the military system was that way? That the people said, I want to carry the name of the military, but I don't want you telling me what to do. It wouldn't work very good, nor will it work in Christ's army. I am going to have to say, Lord, I give it to you. I want you to take control, just like the boot camp that those men go through. Christ is wanting to take us through that, to where when we come out on the other side, and I believe this meeting was sent for me, for each of us, to do that very thing. We heard the message about being the salt of the earth. If you don't have that flavor in your life, it's just going to be trodden underfoot of men. But that I would have within me something that flows out to other people that would help them. There's something else that to be a good soldier in the Lord's army, I'm going to have to learn to obey orders immediately without question. All I need to know is it's the Lord saying it, and I'll do it. An example of that is in Genesis 12 and 1. Remember when God came to Abraham and he said, I want you to get out of your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, and go to a land that I'll show you. How many of us could do that tonight? If that call came to us, we are in the place so much to where I've got to figure it out first. I've got to know the details. I want to know, do I have enough money for one thing to be able to make that kind of trip? What's on the other end? Are there job opportunities? What's there? I've got to have it all figured out. Here in this boot camp, the Lord is coming to Abraham and saying, I want you to just trust me. Think about in the literal military, when there is fitting to be exercise going on, don't want the men, each one coming along saying, I believe I'd do it a little bit different than this. That's what the boot camp was for, is to get them to the place that all they do is obey orders. You tell me to go here, and I'll go here. The Lord wants the same thing from me. And he sends things my way to prepare me, to get me in that place to where all I've got to do is know, Lord, this is what you said, and I'll go do it. With no more than what Abraham had to lead him. Just, you get up and go, and I'll show you to a land. There's a verse that says, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. Human reasoning it's about like it's our worst enemy. I've got to figure it out. If I can't figure it out, I'm not making a move. Even if the Lord has told me to do it, I've got to know what's going to be on the other end. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. There's a place in Ephesians that says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You know, we get to a place where when it's time to stand, I don't want to stand there long. I've got to be moving. I've got to be doing something. But here it's telling us, when you have come to a place where you know the Lord is pleased with your life, this is where he wants me. I can stand right there. I don't have to make another move. Well, that's what Abraham did. He came to that place where, okay, I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. I have obeyed him now. But there was a time when there was another call given to him. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, the second verse, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, take him to the land of Moriah and offer him up for a burnt offering. How long would you need to be able to think about that before you obey? It says he rose up the next morning to take care of business. A good soldier. One that says, I know this voice. It's not what I'd like to do, but I know it's still the voice of the Lord, and I'll obey it. I'm willing to do whatever he says. In 2010, that as we go from this meeting, that each of us, I've got one requirement. Lord, I need to know that it's your voice. If you tell me to do it, I don't need to know another thing past that. I will move until you brought me to the place where, okay, I can stand right there until you tell me something different. There's a verse of a song that says, where he leads me, I'll follow. I'll go with him all the way. It's so easy to sing these songs. It's another thing when I've come to the place now where I can't see tomorrow, and yet I put my hand in his and say, I'll allow you to work for me. Boot camp, trying to prepare us for what is out ahead. There's another verse of song that says, ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, just ready to do his will. And you know what? I find that that does not have to be in big things. Sometimes we think it's got to be a huge something for it to be pleasing the Lord. There was a place that we were in just maybe a couple years ago that we're asking the Lord, okay, what do you want from us? What will, you know, are we doing what you want us to do? And at that time we were living here and coming to service here and stopping by and picking up Sister Imogene and bringing her to meeting. Now, you know, that's pretty easy to do. Just drive in, pick her up, drive back home and drop her off. Easy for all of us to do. Sometimes we think, well, here's some jobs that I just can't do. But that one was easy. And one day as I was thinking, Lord, what do you want us to do? He said, you know what? You're doing just what I want right now. And all we have to do is then say, okay, Lord, I'll stand right here. I'll do this job until you ask for something else. And I'll do the very best that I can at it. So I'd like to encourage everybody here tonight, don't try to look for a big thing this summer season. Look around and say, is there someone that I could give a smile to? Is there someone that I could say good morning to and have a pleasant sound to it as I say it? Look, let's look for the little things in life. Is there someone that's broke down on the side of the road? I want to mention something to you. Something that has given me problem in the past. Maybe you have never had any trouble with it. I have, down in Oklahoma City, on some of the street corners, I have avoided those street corners because there's somebody there that is saying, has a sign and says, would you give me some money? Would you give me some food? And I found myself coming to a place where either I would stop there and I would avoid their eyes, or I would turn to the right when I wanted to go to the left just so I didn't have to stop there. And I got to thinking, you know, is that what I should do? want to be careful in those areas about just handing out money because of how it may be used. But there was something came to me, and Cheryl helped me out with it, that has helped me out in this area. She made up a little clear bag and put in it these sealed thing, individual things of applesauce and different things that somebody can see, and put a track in there. Well, you know what now? And when I'm down at work and I'm needing to go out in the truck to pick up parts or something, I'll put that in there. And I'll find myself going out of the way a little bit to go to that street corner to hand it out. I've got something I can give. I've got something I can do. And you know what? They're able to take a look at it, and I've not had anybody reject it. They can take a look and say, hey, I see some food there. Yes, there's a track in there too, but I'll work through all that. That we would not pass up an opportunity, but that we would say, Lord, that's a small thing, but if it would help one person, it's part of that being a good soldier. And I want to look for those areas in my life. You remember where Elijah came to Mount Carmel, and he's speaking to God's chosen people. And he had this to say, and it's in 1 Kings 18 and 21. Had a question for him. He said, how long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal's the God, follow him. Tonight, I believe the Lord is calling to us and saying, with all I've done from you, choose this day whom you'll serve and put your whole heart in it. If you choose to be in my army, would you put your whole heart in it? When you get up tomorrow, would you say, I'm not my own. I belong to someone else. So, Lord, if you'll just show me something. And I want to tell you, this is not a bondage. We can get ourselves in bondage to where, oh, I didn't speak to someone today and be guilty over it. Nuh-uh. It should be a pleasure to live for the Lord and just be available. If you show me something, I'll not shirk back from it. I'll be willing to do it. There are a group of people in the military called the reserves to where they're not full-time, full duty. They have 1 weekend a month that they go out and they practice. They're a backup, should they be needed. They get to work their job the rest of the time. Some people in the past have called them weekend warriors. Well, the Lord's not asking for that from us. He's wanting my full service to hand it all to him. Lord, I'm not going to do this just part-time. Yes, we do have a job to do. We have a home. We have everything. But that I would be to the place where, Lord, I have given myself to you. I made a choice to be in your army, and I want to be willing to give you everything. Now, looking back on boot camp, you know, it's easy for our boys to take a look at a picture of a Marine in this snappy uniform and say, that's what I want to be. And put their name on a contract, never knowing what boot camp is going to cost. There could be a boy that came from a wealthy home. Maybe his parents were millionaires, had a nice house, a comfortable bed, and he signs up. And they start this drill, rigorous training, sleeping on the ground. Do they come to him and say, you know, young man, we've checked the files here, and I realize you're from a wealthy family. Things have gone real soft for you. We're having a travel trailer brought in for you here. They don't do it. No. If you've signed up for this army, we just want to let you know right off from the front, it won't be soft. Because we don't have travel trailers over there either. It's going to be tough. Want to let you know out in the front. Give you a little time to be able to look at this thing and say, uh-uh, it's not for me. Folks, I want to tell you, the Lord is doing the same thing with us. Think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. It says, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. It's His. I signed on to give it to Him. I had a choice. I didn't have to do it. I could have kept it for myself. But when I've given it to Him, let me give it all to Him. There was also a group of men in our country's history that took on the name of Minutemen. You remember them? At a time where we don't know when you're going to need to be called in for a battle. These were farmers. These were men that whether I live this winter depends on whether I put in a crop or not. So these men took on that title for a reason. Yes, I've got temporal duties to do. I'm going to go out today to plow and plant my garden, my fields, but I'll be listening all day long for that village bell. When that bell rings, I've got my gun leaned up against the fence. I'm ready. This is what I need to do today, but it's not my primary employment. I am ready at the sound of the bell to drop everything I have and go. The Lord is asking tonight, and I believe he has asked through this meeting, for Minutemen. For people that, yes, I'll continue on. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Yes, I've still got my house. I won't be selling it. I've got cars. I've got travel trailer. I've got all these things. But to realize this is not what life is all about. He will let me enjoy that. But he's asking, is there anybody that will be a Minuteman? After this meeting, I appreciate this meeting. I appreciate how the Lord time after time has come back, trying different angles to draw us all close to him. I am so thankful that he's still here. And I believe his call tonight for us at the end of this meeting is, it's not that the meeting is over and now, okay, we can go on and do our own things until the meeting at Monarch. We've got a couple months now to get back into the routine of life. But that from here on, I'd not be the same again, but that I would be ready. Yes, I'd work my job 40 hours a week. But Lord, all you need to do is call and I'll give up my evening. I'll go see that person that is in need. Those small things that maybe I've passed up in the past looking for something big that I'm supposed to do, that I would be willing then to do whatever the Lord would have for me to be a good soldier. I'd like to look at another verse in Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Here is a soldier, 24th verse. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, he signed up to be in Christ's army. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There, in that same chapter, there was another group of people. In the 13th, starting in the 13th verse of Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I believe this is what each of us are going to have to take on this title. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm passing through. The focus that I have is not here. I've got it. You remember the story of Pilgrim? There in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian going. All the time, he had his focus. He was able to see the celestial city from any point that he was on the journey. And it was told, keep your eye on that goal. Keep your eye on the goal there. He had to go through a town. It wasn't that he went off the path to go through it. The path went through this town, and it was called Vanity Fair. The things that were going on in that town to attract your attention, to make you want to stay, did he, as he passed through there, say, boy, I love the sight, the sounds, the smells. I wonder where the real estate office is. I'd like to see if there's a house. I could stay here for a while. He didn't do that. He had his eyes on a goal. We each one, as we're going through this life, I believe the Lord's calling on us to raise your eyes and let's see that prize on the other side. We're just moving through here. There's a song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But you know what? I'm going to have to keep reminding myself of that, because it seems like it just starts settling in to where this is my home. I love it here. I'm looking forward to what I'm going to be doing next year and the next. That's okay, except that I've got to realize this isn't all of it. I've got to have my eyes on the prize. Over in Luke, I'd like to look at another verse in Luke 9. Because it's easy for us to make a decision, Lord, I'll follow you. In the 9th chapter and in the 57th verse, it says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. someone come and make a decision, Lord, I'll sign up to be in your army. Well, he tells him what it's going to cost. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said to another, follow me, but he saith, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What I get from this is these temporal things that I have around me are not to supersede my love for Christ or my desire to follow him. Yes, there are temporal things that we have to take care of, but my focus, my decision, and I believe God has called us, each one. He has called me this week. Put that focus more on, I'm just traveling through here. So, Lord, while I'm traveling through here, and I'm in your army, and I'd like to be a good soldier, I would like at the end of it to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what would you have me do? Whether it's small, whether it's great, whatever you have for me. Because there was another one that signed up in Matthew 19. Remember the rich man where he came to Jesus? I want to be a follower of yours. I want to be in your army. What do I lack? And so he started giving him the instruction of what it would take to be a soldier. And he said, these things, I've been doing them since I was a child. And the Lord looked at him and loved him. And he said, there's just one thing you're lacking. Go get rid of everything you have and follow me. And he turned away, sorrowful. So for me tonight, as the Lord comes to me and says, yes, you've made improvements in some areas, but I've got another area here that I want you to move up on, that I'd not walk away sorrowful, but that I would see what the Lord has done for me in the past and say, Lord, I want to be a good soldier. I'm willing to do it. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us that there's been a great cloud of witnesses. There has been a group of soldiers that has gone before us. And you know what? We don't have to look back in the Old Testament to see them. There have been faithful men, faithful women in the last few years that have shown us this world's not my home. Lord, when you call for me, I'm ready to go. Yes, I enjoy this life. If you will heal me, I would enjoy it. I would appreciate it. I tell you, God's looking for good soldiers. And I've been challenged by Sister Williams last year to be in what we thought was perfect health one day. By that night, to be down knowing this is something serious. Within days, she knows, I'm fixing to leave out of here. You know, if we have our hearts set here, if our attachments are set here, we're going to do something to stay. But as I watched her day after day, with a calm peace and assurance that I'm trusting a God, it doesn't matter how far down I go, he can touch and heal me and raise me up if he wants to, but I'm in his hand. I want to tell you, we're in the place where God is asking, is there anybody that will sign up in my army to be that kind of soldier? A good soldier. Not just one that, okay, I'm in here, I'm going to serve my time, but I'm going to make sure I'm just as far back from where the fighting is as possible. I don't want to have to apply myself very much, but that I would start looking at some of this great cloud of witnesses that has gone before me and has shown me the example that, yes, you can go through life enjoying it, but when God calls for you, you can release it because you realized all along I was a stranger and a pilgrim. 1 Timothy tells us, fight the good fight of faith. That's in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. There's a battle on today to destroy faith. That calm assurance. The verse that says, when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith? Is it going to still be evident? Will it be evident in me? Now, a lot of times in the past, what I thought that fight of faith was for me to be able to believe that God will give me those things that I ask him for. I'm willing to be sick. 24 hours is about as much as I want, though. So I want to call on the Lord. I want to have faith to believe that he's going to raise me up that quick. Folks, I want to tell you something. Brother Curtis has been fighting a good fight of faith. Just a calm assurance, a solid conviction that this verse, God's way is best if human wisdom, a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision, the truth, can never clearly know. So what about when my prayer requests, I like them where they would end up in the 11th chapter of Hebrews toward the front, where they called and they got the answer. I like that part. But it goes on down. It doesn't finish up there. It says there were others. And you know what? Those others were some good soldiers too. They didn't say, Lord, I'll follow you if it ends up this way and this soon. But they said, I put myself in your hands. I love reading about the three Hebrew children because now I can tell they're going to get out. Daniel, I love that story because I know he's going to make it through the night. What about our stories? What about this one of Brother Curtis when he saw, you know what, I could go out of here 6 months ago. And today the Lord hasn't chosen to take him completely out. We're thankful for what he has done. But as I have watched Brother Curtis's life, a good soldier. And you know what, this is not lifting up people. We get the opportunity to watch a good soldier. You know, in the military, there are people that come back with a Purple Heart, got a medal. You know, when they did that act of valor, they weren't saying, you know what, I can just see that thing pinned on my chest now. They were not even thinking about it. There was a cause greater than themselves that they were giving it themselves to. I believe that's what's happening in these cases. And all it's telling us is the power of God is still available for me to go through that if I will yield myself to Him to become a good soldier. There's another verse of a song that says, O Jesus, I will cling to Thee. I'll love Thee more and more. I'll place my trembling hand in Thine until the battle's o'er. Now there's another little place that I'd like for us to look at. One soldier, disillusioned. How many people can they pull down? How many people did 10 spies pull down when Moses sent them into the Canaan land? They all came back with a good report. It's just like we heard about. This land flows with milk and honey. But 10 of them said, we're not able to do it. It's not possible. What report am I given today by the life I'm living? Is it we are well able to take this land? It wasn't because of our power to start with, but there's a God that we're living for. There's a God that we've got our trust in. We're well able to take it. There is a verse that has been a challenge to me, and let's go to it. In Joshua, there was one man that after all that, he had to go through. When the people refused to go across, he had to spend the years in the wilderness too. His name was Caleb. In Joshua 14, in the 8th verse, there's been a lot of time passed now. It says in the 10th verse, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Look, seemed like almost too old to be a soldier. But he says, I'm as strong this day as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and come in. That 12th verse says, now therefore. Now he doesn't say, you know what, I want y'all to remember what I've done. And I'd like for you to get some young men to come and take this mountain and then let me move into it. No, what he told him is, now therefore, give me this mountain. Let me take it. It's not about my own power. I saw it 45 years ago, that it was going to be the Lord that would give it to us anyhow. But what he's saying is now, would you give me this mountain? And I would like for us each one as we go from here, where the Lord has dealt with me through this meeting, that I'll go to him in these next weeks and say, Lord, give me this mountain. I want to take care of this area in my life. I want to be able to be a better soldier. There is a song that I found just a little while back. It says, down through the ages, the battle's been raging. Against evil forces, the saints kept the faith. When I read how they stood, it makes me feel bolder to join in the fight and make the Lord a good soldier. It says, it doesn't matter where my captain calls. If my duty is important or small, I'll be paid at the end when my banner is folded. If he'll just smile and say, you made the Lord a good soldier. Says my steps may not always be right in time when I'm in the battle or near the front line. But if he gives me strength to bear the cross on my shoulders, I'll do my best to make the Lord a good soldier. Paul, at the end of all that he had gone through, so many things that could have turned him back. One of the biggest things was persecution among brethren. He could have stood those, kind of like David, I could have stood those things that were without, but when it came right around home, that's the one that could get me. Paul went through all those things, and at the end of it, he had a testimony. I'm finishing this thing up now. In fact, he didn't even hold it on the Lord that you're going to cause me to lose my life at the end of all this. Instead, he knew it's coming, and he had this to say, I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there's a crown laid up for me, and it's not just for me, but it's for all those that love is appearing. Tonight, my desire is to make the Lord a good soldier. That happens by me yielding to him, by me saying, Lord, I don't have to know the end of all things. I'll put my hand in yours. I'll let you lead and guide me, no matter how long it may take. And any time you're wondering how long it may take, I'd like for you to think about Brother Curtis. You know what? He had a desire to go out and work a job just like all the rest of us. But you know what? The Lord decided, this soldier I want to put in this place for this period of time. And I know one thing, it was put there to challenge me. Now what can I say to the Lord when he sends a little something my way that takes a few days for it to change? Am I going to say, why, Lord? I want to put my hand in his. I desire your prayers.